So first of all, I just want to thank Miss Seely and Pastor Phil for even asking me to come today. She asked us, I think it was back in February or March, and, you know, kind of put me on the spot, would you speak? And at first I'm like, no, John, I'm not speaking. But then I told her, I said, if the Lord laid it on your heart, then who am I to disagree or to say no? And so I just prayed, Lord, just give me the words, give me the courage, the strength to speak. And I just pray that, you know, he'll be in this meeting. So one of my favorite verses is in Jeremiah, and it says that, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And each one of us is here for a reason. And to even think that a holy God would think upon me, to think upon you, it just blows my mind sometimes, and that he wants peace for each one of us. He is a holy and righteous God, and I just pray that he will be with me as I speak today. So I did ask Natalie, what is the theme for today? And she did tell me it was Fill My Cup, Lord. And as soon as she told me that, I said, I remember that as a song. And so I went and I looked up the verse, or the lyrics to the song. And it says, I'm going to read it to you. It says, like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that shall never run dry. And then the chorus says, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. You know, as I read that song and the verses, it really made me think of what the Lord has done in my life. You know, I compare myself to many of the women in the Bible, and most of them are not, you know, Hannah and Mary. My past life, I was Eve, I was a Martha, I was a Rahab. And I was this woman at the well. So many times prior to my salvation, I would cry out to the Lord and I would ask him to fill my cup, to fill me. And I know he really wanted to, but he just couldn't at the time. We can picture all, I was looking at all the cups here, and we can picture a cup, right? It can be a little teacup. It could be a styrofoam cup. It could be this big mug, right? But most of us, if you would want to fill that cup, it would have to be clean, right? Unless you're my husband. Let me tell you this. My husband, when it comes to coffee, he never wants me to clean his cup. So it has that really yicky grime around it because he just thinks that it like gives it added flavor. No, I want a clean cup, okay? So he's out of this, but I would think that most of us would want a clean cup, okay? So I'm going to go with the clean cup analogy, okay? So most of you guys know the biblical account of Jesus meeting with the woman at the well. If you have your Bibles, if you don't, that's fine. I brought mine. I'm going to be in John. I'm going to be in chapter 4. And I'm going to start reading at verse 7. And it says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away in the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So I'm not a Bible scholar, but I've been told that the Samaritans and the Jews really didn't get along. And so I went online and I was trying to figure out why. And so I went to my pastor, and if any of you know Pastor John Asquith, he is like a Bible historian. He knows his Bible, right? So I'm going to tell you what he told me. He said, the passage in Kings, when King of Assyria populated the area, historically the Samaritans had yielded to Antiochus of Epiphanes prior to the Maccabean revolt, wherein the Pharisees defeated him. And I looked at my phone, I said, okay, they just didn't get along, because I couldn't figure out what he meant by that. So I'm just going to go with that. But here's my point. It just shows you that Jesus will meet anyone. Okay, it doesn't matter your color, it doesn't matter your background, what you look like, or how much sin you have committed, or if you were one of those goody two-shoes that never did anything, okay? He wants to meet you personally, okay? My good friend Chelsea over there said, my Father will forgive and save anyone. And that is the truth. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter who you are. So back on verse 10, it says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. In that verse, it says the gift of God. And so I've been taught by my pastor that you look up those words. You don't go to commentaries. You go into your Bible and you look up those words. And the word gift of God is in there a lot of times. I found just 15. There's the gift of God referring to labor. Gift of God, meaning of inheritance. Gift of the Holy Ghost or gift of righteousness. These are all the kinds of gifts that the Lord wants to give you. But I really believe that the gift that Jesus was speaking here was for salvation and eternal life. And he's willing to give this woman freely. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In verse number 11, the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? You know, it's interesting here that she referred to Jacob. So again, I'm not a theologian, but it just shows me that she knew some type of religious background. She knew who Jacob was, okay? There are many people that have some type of religious background. They are either Pentecostal, they are Methodist, or whatever. They have some type of knowledge or some type of religion. I was brought up as a Catholic. I had religion. This woman at the well really reminded me of myself. I definitely knew who God was. I knew who Jesus was. I knew who Mary and the saints and the apostles, and I knew all of that, but I never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. I do remember one time growing up that I sat in my room and we had a copy of Good News for Modern Man. And I think I started reading and I think I got up to like Noah's Ark and Exodus, but then everything got really difficult and I didn't have anybody to teach me. And so I just kind of put it away and I never opened a Bible again. I do remember times laying on my bed and crying out to God saying the Our Father and having all of this religious things going on. I knew who God was, but I didn't know him personally. You know, I do believe that God heard those prayers. I know there's some people that say that God doesn't hear unsaved people, but I believe he was in it. I believe that he has watched over me over so many years and that he heard those prayers. I know that even with my wrong decisions and the wrong things that I did growing up, that he knew that eventually I would come to the truth. There are many people that know Jesus, but they don't have a personal relationship with him. If we look on verse 13 of that same chapter, it says, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. You know, right here, this woman asks for the living water. And I guess we could even go a step further and we could spiritualize or imply that she was asking for salvation. After coming to Black Creek about 13 years ago, I had no idea what true salvation was. I did make a profession at a Wesleyan church back in 2002, but my life was a complete mess. And Dal and I, as you saw back there, Dal and I attended a Baptist church before moving out to Allegheny County, and we really thought we had it. We would stand out in street corners holding signs, you must be born again. We were handing out tracts. He would preach at the city mission. We were at church. We were at Bible study. And let me tell you, we were empty inside. We didn't have what true, and this was a King James church. We had no idea of what real salvation was, even though we were sitting in a good Baptist church. When I was pregnant for my son, Luke. He's the one next to Pastor Phil. We decided to move out to Allegheny County because living out by Buffalo, we just thought, oh, we don't want to raise our children in the city with drugs and all the stuff that goes in big cities. We're going to come back. You can go to Allegheny County where there's nothing, right? Well, that's what we thought. Unfortunately, we live in a place where there's a lot of drugs and things. I don't think anywhere you go, you'll be escaping that. But as we moved out to Allegheny County, we just stopped going to church. We thought we were Christians, and we tried to find good churches, but we could never find one. I did my best to hide my messy life in front of family, in front of friends. We tried to act really good on the outside, but inside, we were just a hot mess. And as you mothers know, you have this kind of sixth sense of what's going on with your children. And even if you don't have children, you're good friends, you kind of know there's something going on. And so I know my mom knew that there was something going on with Dale and I. So I often like to tell the story of how Pastor John came into our lives. But before I explain this, I want to just share something that he said at a Bible study probably about a couple months ago. He was explaining how his life was just a hot mess as a young man, and he was hitchhiking, and he had broken every single relationship tie. He was on drugs. He was just a mess, and he was stranded on the side of the road. I believe it was close to Machias or somewhere in New York, and he just needed to get home. And he said that he remembers specifically. Now, remember, this is May 1974, and he is standing on the side of the road, and he just yells out to God, if there's a God, would you use me? Would you help me? Would you, whatever, would you just use me? I can't remember the exact words, but the thought came to me that May of 1974, he's asking God to use him, and in July of 1974, I was going to be born. And he knew, the Lord knew, he was going to use that man to lead me to Christ. So, back to the story about my mom. So our life is a hot mess. I'm thinking I'm religious. I can go and I can sit among women and I can look, you know, just like I have all everything put together, but inside just was a mess. And my mom was working at GCC. It's a satellite school for college. And my pastor's daughter, Hannah, was homeschooled, but she needed to take a course just to kind of get her diploma or something. So she would go in and she would talk to my mom, and you know, they had a good relationship. But one day, as Pastor sat in the parking lot waiting for her, Hannah went to my mom and said, "You're never gonna believe this. My dad just got a new pastorate job at Black Creek Baptist Church." And my mom tells me the story of how her mouth just dropped and said, "Black Creek, who the heck knows where Black Creek is? And why would you go there? But my daughter and my son-in-law are there and they are in trouble." Remember I said moms know that, that have that intuition? And let me tell you, my pastor was faithful. I want to say it wasn't very much longer that he came and he knocked on my door, my husband with a beer, me with Autumn on my hip, and just a living mess, and he brought me to, Pastor John brought me to church. God is just so awesome in how he works. Like I said, as a little girl just crying out to God, and maybe it took almost 40 years later to send a man my way. I remember my pastor, as I got into church, I would go every week. Not every week, I want to back up. We weren't faithful. I started off going to church, Dale did not. But I do remember times when Pastor would get up there and he would preach this verse. He said in Romans 10:13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon on the name of the Lord shall be saved," right? And so I'm like, wow, I'm just going to call on the name of the Lord and I'm going to be saved, right? And so I don't know how many times I called upon on the Lord, right? I mean, many times, many times. And he would sit there and he says, "But we all forget that second part of the verse. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" Well, I called on him. I was acting religious. I thought it was fine. There was something missing in my heart. I was not saved because I didn't believe Jesus Christ loved me. I didn't realize that my sin nature, I was sinning against God. Yes, I sinned against people. I sinned against family. I did these awful, horrible things. But it was the secret things in my heart that broke God's heart. You see, in Matthew 16, 17, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to me, but my Father which is in heaven." See, I went to a Catholic church. Man told me about that Jesus was the Son of God. The priest told me, my family told me, preachers told me that Jesus was the Son of God, but I never had the Father in heaven reveal it personally to me that he was the Son of God. So we're going to look at this woman. It says, "In order for the Lord to fill this woman's cup or her vessel with living water, her cup has to be clean." She needed salvation, but not only that, just like mine, her cup had a ton of cracks, chips, and holes in it. Not only did Jesus want to pour this living water into her, but he wanted to start restoring the vessel that was so broken from sin. There's a song that I listen to. It is called "He Didn't Throw the Clay Away." I'm not going to sing it. I don't have that type of talent. But I want to share the verses. It says, "Empty and broken, I came unto him, a vessel unworthy, so scarred with sin. But he did not despair. He started over again. And I bless the day he didn't throw the clay away. Over and over, he molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashioned the clay. A vessel of honor I am today, all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away." This is just a great picture of how Jesus can restore a vessel and turn it into a vessel of honor. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But I am a work in progress. But he does call that I have a vessel of honor now that I have the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 16, it says, "Jesus say unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." See, Jesus met her personally and showed her her sin right there. I think this really, it doesn't really say it, but I think her eyes were starting to be open and her heart, not only to the fact that she was speaking to someone who was a prophet, but she also started seeing her own sin in her own heart and that she was sinning against a holy God. She continues by saying, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye not, know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers should worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." Do you realize right there it says that the Father seeketh her? It says in the Word that he is a God that seeks and wants to save. He is seeking each one of us. Whether you are a believer or not, there's a reason why you're here, because the Lord is seeking you. And then it says, "God is a spirit, that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." And then the woman saith unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." And here's my favorite verse. "Jesus say unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." In his mercy, he revealed himself to her right at that moment. And I really think in that verse, Jesus one-on-one tells this woman that he indeed is the Messiah. And I don't think, it doesn't tell you how she reacted, but I really believe right then and there, she has come, she has asked, he has shown her her sin, and he has revealed him to her, that her cup just started overflowing. before we can have our cup filled, as Miss Seeley said, we want our cup to be filled, you must have a clean cup. You must be saved and born again, not only to receive the living water of eternal life, but the blessings that the Lord wants to give you. So now let's talk about this cup. Once we have salvation, I believe that the Lord also starts working on that cup or vessel to hold what he wants to continue to pour in. After salvation, we really don't have a strong, secure, strong cup or vessel. And I kind of picture, I was trying to have visuals, and I was going to bring some, but I kind of think of that first cup that when we get saved is a baby bottle. If you just kind of picture that. And it says in 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so, ye have tasted the Lord is gracious. I remember when I got saved, I mean, I went to church as when the doors were open, I was at the church. We would go, Dale and I and the kids, there's preaching down in Georgia. Okay, it's our anniversary. Let's go. We're going to go to Georgia. We're going to read our Bible. We're going to listen to preaching. And everybody thought we were in a cult. We're nuts for doing this. No, I was desiring that sincere milk, and I just wanted so much. I just wanted to hear and hear the preaching and hear people's testimonies. And that's how it is when we, as babies, they want that sincere milk so they can grow. I do believe that Jesus wants to fill the Christian's the bottle with wondrous things from his word. But as we grow, just like newborns, we got to kind of move, right? And so I kind of picture the next stage as a sippy cup, right? Little babies start coming and trying to be a little bit more independent. And as though the Lord wants us to just trust in him fully, I think he wants us to learn to have faith and trust in him and to be a little independent in our faith. We are learning, I am learning, to trust him in certain situations that are so, so difficult. I remember that Dale, after he got saved, and he preaches this a lot, that the Lord showed him, okay, put the boots on, strap up, because things are going to get a little bit difficult. It says in 2 Timothy 2, 3, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Things started getting difficult, not very far after I got saved. The Lord was showing me through different trials how I could trust him. So we kind of move through different cups or vessels in our relationship with Christ, maybe a sippy cup to a plastic teacup or to a very, very pretty dainty cup to a very heavy-duty mug. How do we graduate from those mugs or those cups? And I really believe it's through trials. I know I hate trials as the next person, but I have learned that it's through trials and hard times that the Lord is teaching us the most. In 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13, it says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Don't ask to get out of your trial. Don't ask the Lord to, okay, just get me out of this. No, you ask the Lord, Lord, what can I learn through this? And I'm just going to trust you through this trial to show me and increase my faith. I know we hate to say, give us, you know, Lord, give me patience, or Lord, help me through these trials, because we think we're going to get more. But let me tell you, if you want to grow as a Christian, you need to go through that. By the end of my life, I want to be that big mug. I don't want to be that dainty, pretty little teacup. I want my mug to be heavy duty, thick, worn, unbreakable. Every Thursday night we have Bible study, and every time I think of this big, thick mug, I think of my friend Tanya. She has this mug, no lie. I mean, this thing is this big, and I mean, it's not pretty. It doesn't have all kinds of flower things on, but it's got this huge hand, and I mean, she drinks. I mean, she has that coffee full. It would take me a week. This mug is so thick, right? I just want to be like that when I am done with my walk on earth. I want to have that big mug, okay? I pray that we all want that type of mug. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter. It's what the Lord wants you to be. So in order for the Lord to fill our cups, we need a clean cup. And then we need to have a moldable cup that will change over the years. So then what do we want the Lord to fill us with, right? So we have a cup. We have We have a clean cup, and now we need to ask the Lord to fill us. So I thought, Galatians 5. I'm going to start in verse 19. I'm going to go through, and it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, they that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Before salvation, this is what my cup was filled with. My dirty cup was filled with almost every single one of those things. Yes, the people looked at me and said, "This is goody two-shoe Amy. How could she have all those things?" Because you know what? You don't have to outwardly do those things, but if you do them in your heart, the word says that you are just as guilty. And my heart was filled with those things. Now, probably half of you guys know my husband's testimony. You know, we come from two different sides of the world. You know, he has a horrible past, and I come from a good family. But people will look at Dale and say, he needed Jesus because of how wicked he was, all the bad things he did. But you know what? We are all just like Dale. We just didn't have the guts to go out and live that. We just live it in our heart. Okay? And so I'm going to prove that. So in Matthew 15, 16 through 19, it says, "And Jesus said, are ye also yet without in understanding? Do ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth go into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceedeth out of the mouth come forth from the heart." And this is where it is. "They defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defile not a man." See, we have all those things in our heart. We may not go out and commit adultery. We may not murder. But if you hate your brother, it says that you do. I think we all need Jesus. Every single one of us, no matter what we have done. And it says in 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Uh-oh, kids. Right there, disobedient to parents will send you to hell just as quickly as murdering somebody. "Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than the lovers of God." And here it is. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So many years before saved, I would walk around just having that form of godliness. I was a good Catholic girl, but inside I had all of these things. These verses are my testimony. The woman at the well is my testimony. Matthew 15 shows me what was really in my heart. 2 Timothy shows me my hypocrisy and then that form of godliness. Oh, and then I have all that other sin that wasn't even mentioned, right? There are so many of us, so many in the world. And then I'm not just talking here, guys. I don't want you to think I'm pointing because the Lord showed me this for me, okay? That they have a form of godliness. They think they have it. The outside looks perfect. But it says in Matthew that they're full of dead men's bones. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." I would walk around just dead inside. But when you come up to me, you would never know the difference because I could have a form of godliness. Prior to salvation, I begged God for so many things. I have my master's degree, so I would beg God, "Give me an A, give me, you know, just be with me for my knowledge and education. Would you help me with my health? And would you help me with finances and safety and relationship issues?" And, you know, these aren't bad things to pray for, but this is not what we want the Lord to fill our cup with. So I was thinking about, well, what do we want the Lord to fill us with? And then I thought fruit. And I'm thinking, well, how can you pour fruit in a cup, right? Well, I have a magic bullet, and I put fruit in there all the time, and I can put it in a cup just fine. So we're going to go with that, okay? We're gonna ask the Lord for fruit. So that first part of Galatians is talking about all those things, but then the second part of Galatians 5, 22 through 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And then it also says in Ephesians 5, 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. We should desire to be filled not only with those things, the fruit of the Spirit, but that truth and righteousness. Wouldn't you want your cup in your life to be filled with love, even when you're faced with the most unlovable people? To have your cup filled with joy when everything around you is just falling apart. To be filled with long-suffering when your children are so needy, or family members or co-workers are just so needy, and you need a break, but you just have that long-suffering. For gentleness, for times when a soft word spoken is needed. And to be filled with goodness when everything around us is so evil. To be filled with meekness when someone is blaming you for something you didn't do. We've all had that time when someone just wants to accuse you and you know you haven't done it. Sometimes you just say, I'm sorry for offending you, and you take it. That's meekness. And then the temperance, knowing when too much of something is not in balance. These are the things that I want the Lord to fill my cup with. And I pray at the end of my life that my cup overflows with all of these things. And yes, I am just learning to use these fruit on a daily basis. I've only been saved for 9 years. It's most of my life I've lived as an unsaved woman. We are told to be more like Jesus. In Romans 8, 28 through 29, it says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called to according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. It just says that his purpose is to conform each of us to look more like Jesus, not of ourselves. And so, in closing, I just want to say we need a clean cup. Do you guys have a clean cup? Do you know someone who is desiring to have a clean cup? Do you need it to be cleaned out? Maybe you don't have salvation. Maybe things are just going awry and you just need to have the Lord forgive you of some things and repent. And then are you willing that your cup will be moldable and that you would move from vessel to vessel? And it may be that hardest trial that you're going through right now. But are you willing to go through it? And then will you ask the Lord to fill you with good things that will carry you through and from this life and into the next? But don't ask just to be filled, guys. Ask to be overfilled. Because when you are overfilled, you can share it with people. I do thank you, Miss Natalie and Pastor, for allowing me to speak. I pray it was a blessing to you. Like I said, I don't tap dance, and I don't have any special talent, but I do know that there's a Lord that loves each one of us, and I pray that he will fill your cup with the righteous and truth and the things from the Spirit of God. Thank you.
She was speaking of it.